Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. We know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk.
A few years ago, I was preaching for our United States military churches in Germany. As many of you know, there are many tens of thousands of Americans serving in several branches of military in Germany, and thankfully we have some good Baptist missionaries there who have started churches on the outside of the gates and go out soul winning and tell the military men and women about Jesus Christ. And it was a special privilege to be there and to be a part of the services, to see some of our armed forces personnel even accept Jesus Christ in the services. One afternoon after the morning meetings, Brother Lancaster, the missionary there in Germany, said, "Brother Chappell, I'd like to take a drive with you, a quick drive over to the little country of Luxembourg, not far from here. I'd like to show you something I think might be of interest to you. By the way, if anyone ever says they want to take you on a quick drive in Germany, that's exactly what they have in mind. We got caught behind some slow traffic, only going 140, and had to pass them along the way on the Autobahn. It was a very quick drive. We went over to this little tiny country of Luxembourg, and there we went into the memorial of the Americans who had fought there during World War II, whose bodies were not returned back to America, and who were buried there in the Luxembourg cemetery. They had a large map showing all of the battles there in the Rhine River region, and showing all of the military strategy of General Patton and other leaders of that era. We first went to the gravesite of General Patton, who had requested that he be buried with his men there in Europe. And then we began to walk through the rows and rows of white crosses. And how we were touched by the fact that so many Americans with some type of a Christian heritage, as evidenced by the cross, had given their lives for freedom. And then we began to look even further, and I think the thing that struck me that day as much as anything else was the average age of those soldiers. When you began to calculate the birth dates and the dates of their passing, you began to realize that the vast majority of those who died in that European front during World War II were young men in their early 20s, men whose lives had really just begun, men who were still in their youth. And when I began to realize that so many have died for my freedom on various different continents, so many have given their lives for our freedom, and so many of them at a young age, I do not think it is too much to ask our children, our teenagers, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. When so many have died for the great cause of freedom, then tonight we make no apology for training young people to stand up and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of this in this passage, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." God is teaching young people in this passage. Yes, those who sang here a moment ago and those who spoke. God is teaching them in this verse that He can use them even in their youth. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men recorded in the Old Testament history who were young men, and yet they had the anointing of God on their lives, and they would not bow to the culture of their day. I think of David, just a young man. I think of Joseph, a young man, and yet great faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. I often wonder, what will America be like for the first graders who sang tonight? I wonder what types of laws will be passed that may hinder our freedom, and I wonder how secular this society will turn. I do not know what they will face, but I pray that they will stand up for the Lord Jesus, that they will stand up and be unashamed of their faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks in these passages concerning what it means to be a man or woman of God who makes a difference and who bears fruit with their life. And I want you to notice in this passage, in the first place, this is a passage written to a young man of God. Notice the man of God in this passage is none other than Timothy, a young preacher. Paul the apostle is writing to Timothy, and he's challenging him to live for God, even as a young man. He says in verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself." Take heed unto thyself. And I believe there are several areas that God would challenge us tonight to take heed to ourselves. I was speaking somewhere this morning and sharing a bit of my testimony and last night as well in a meeting about my early morning devotions and just some things that I try to consider first thing in the morning as my day begins. And you know, the first person that I pray for every morning is me. I pray every morning that I might be right with God. I think of Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me." And in this passage, Paul says, Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth. Don't let someone put you down because you're young. But you need to take heed to yourself. Make sure that you're living a life that is consistent with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that specifically in verse 12. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." And notice the categories. First, he says, in word, that is, in your speech. Our speech often betrays our level of spiritual maturity. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And it's a blessing to hear young people tonight stand up and speak about God and country and things that really matter. It's a blessing to sense there's some maturity coming forth from their life. And the Bible says that we are to, with our speech, have a godly example. And then notice, secondly, the word there in verse 12 says, in word, and then it says, in conversation. The word conversation means our lifestyle. And I believe that America is in great need today of even 16, 17, 20, 21-year-olds whose lifestyle would be distinct, whose language would be distinct enough that even at their age, they might have an opportunity to influence. There was a day when those who lived recklessly and with immorality, those who were involved with questioning authority, and those who were involved in the drug culture, the rock and roll culture, they were the rebels. They were in the minority trying to change culture. And I might say to you that many of those hippies, as they were called from the 60s, are now in governmental leadership, denominational leadership, and they have become mainstream. And it is time for a minority of people in America once again to be different in the right kind of a way and to take this country back for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that while there are a vast majority of young people who are involved in all kinds of texting and networking on the internet that is lewd and that is wasteful and wicked. And while there are many young people in America today whose television habits and dress habits and so forth are nothing more than the reflection of secular humanism and unrighteous influences in their life, that when you do find a teenager who walks like a young man or a young lady and who says yes ma'am or no ma'am, or when you do find a teenager who speaks respectfully and says thank you or please, how many of you are like me? That type of teenager stands out. That's the kind of young person you want to help. And the Bible says, take heed to your life, young person, that in your word and in your conversation, you would be distinct, that you would stand out for the Lord. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15 is in your notes. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How many of you recognize that America financially is in a world of hurt? That the state of California is in a deficit position every single day, losing millions of dollars. How many of us realize that every single day, Democratic and Republican leadership in the newspaper, cheating on their wives, having affairs with their interns, stealing money, every single day we hear the news of it, America is a crooked and perverse nation. American leaders in many instances today are finding themselves more and more standing in opposition to the Word of God, neglecting our heritage that was sung about so beautifully tonight. And what we need in this hour, in the midst of such a nation, are people who will shine like the light, who will stand up for what is true. And the Bible says that we would shine as lights in this world. Notice verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And so let no man despise thy youth. Don't think someone cannot accomplish something in life because they're young. But be an example in your word. Be an example in your lifestyle, in your charity, in your spirit, which is your attitude, in faith or faithfulness, in purity. That we would see the importance tonight of raising up young people who are distinct in their generation. Take heed to your life. But notice also, here is a challenge to Timothy. Take heed to your learning. Make sure that your learning is appropriate, that it is biblically based, and that it will be different in your life. Notice, if you would, in verse 13, the Bible says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. The word reading here speaks of the public reading of the Scripture. Make sure, Timothy, that in your ministry settings that you are giving attention to the reading of the Word of God. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but a lot of young people today don't read much. They watch a lot. They want to see something on the internet. They want to see a cartoon or a YouTube or a whatever. But I still believe there is great transference of knowledge through the reading of the Word of God, through reading and studying the Word of God. And here he says, give attendance to reading. One of the reasons that we stand and read here at Lancaster Baptist Church is to show reverence and to focus our attention on the infallible Word of God. And he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, which is the teaching of the Word of God, and then the word doctrine, the set of beliefs that comes forth through reading the Word of God. And when we read the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, we begin to see the themes of the Scripture. And those themes create a doctrinal foundation for our lives. The process of learning is found in verse number 13 and verse number 14. And then notice the Bible speaks of the product of learning in verse 15. It says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That thy profiting may appear to all. In other words, God says, be sure that you are reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, living the Word of God, so that the profit may appear to everyone, so that those around you can sense that there's something in you that is different, that the Word of God is being lived out from your life. And so the man of God is a man whose life is different, whose word is different, whose learning and instruction is making a difference in his life. The Bible is clear, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Thank God for young people who are memorizing the Word of God and growing in their faith each and every day. The development of men and women of God at a young age is what we're dedicated to in our ministry. But notice, secondly, the message of God. We see the man of God spoken of in verses 12 through 14 and 15. But notice, if you would, secondly, the message of God in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, the message of God is, first of all, the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is doctrine that comprises our foundation upon which we build. And the doctrine is spoken of here. Take heed unto thyself in the doctrine. I think of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Think of that. In the beginning was the Word. That's the eternality of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the deity of Jesus Christ. And we begin to realize even from that one single verse that God has a purpose and a plan in the affairs of men, that God was manifest in the flesh, and that Jesus Christ, who was manifest in the flesh, died for the sins of the entire world. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of the blood there is no remission of sin. He says, take heed unto the doctrine. Make sure you're learning the doctrine. Make sure you know who God is. Make sure you know why Jesus came, that Jesus came to die for our sins. You know, the most important truth these children can learn is that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he was born of a virgin, lived a perfectly sinless life, and that he died on the cross for our sins. And when they learned that, isn't it a wonderful thing that many of them at tender young ages have the opportunity to pray and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? And they, as they put their faith in Jesus Christ, have learned the most important truth of life, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. And then I think of the doctrine of the Word of God. I believe tonight every one of us need to be mindful of this fact, that the Bible is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The doctrine of the Scriptures is something that we want these children to learn. We want them to know who God is, that He manifested Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to know that the Bible is the Word of God and that it is a light and a lamp to guide them throughout their lives. And while many in our country have turned away from the Word of God and turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God for children tonight who sang of their faith in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. And so Paul writes to Timothy, a young man. He says, don't let anybody despise your youth. You be a man of God, a man of distinction. You be a man who in word and in conversation is distinct. And you hear the message of God, which is a doctrinal message. It is a message based upon who Jesus is, and a message based upon the Bible, which is the Word of God. And so we see the man of God is challenged with the message of God. And then finally, he's challenged to do the ministry of God. You know, God saves all of us with a purpose. Isn't it exciting to think about all of these children who sang up here just a moment ago? God has an exciting plan for their lives. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes my imagination gets the best of me, and I sit here and I think, I wonder which of those kids one day is going to be a pastor or a pastor's wife. I wonder which of them could be the mayor of Lancaster. I wonder maybe if one of them would be the governor of California. I wonder maybe if one of these will be a mighty military strategist or perhaps a great Christian businessman. I don't know what God has for all of these children, but I know this, God has a wonderful plan for every one of their lives. And God wants to use all of them in different ways. But the fact is that when we consider our Christian calling, God has a purpose for all of our lives to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in this society. Notice in verse 16 as we close tonight, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Here's the ministry of a man of God, to save himself and those that hear him. Now, the word save is not speaking of salvation. We don't save ourselves from sin. You're only saved by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. It's not something that we can do. But the word save here speaks about preventing harm or preserving ourselves from the traps of this world. And the verse is saying that when we take heed to ourselves and to the teachings of the Bible, then we save ourselves from the pitfalls of this world and from the trials that could come into our life. And he said, if you'll do the work of the ministry, that involves a personal ministry. That involves also a ministry that helps others to save themselves. It may be that some of these young people are going to help in the realm of counseling or in the realm of sharing scriptures with a friend who's going the wrong direction or leading someone to Christ or helping them to know a principle that will guide them in their lives as they live for the Lord. And I think as we do the ministry, there's two thoughts that we can close with. First, we want to pursue servant leadership as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10 and verse 44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, we believe that every one of these students, as they grow up, ought to desire to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. They may not be a preacher, but all of them can be the servants of Jesus Christ. And as such, they should take heed to themselves and also unto the doctrine, that they might save themselves and them that hear them. And not only are we to pursue servant leadership in our lives, but I want you to notice, secondly, we're to persevere in times of hardness. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How many of you understand that some of these young people are going to face some hardships as they grow up? They're going to face some difficulties. We heard a few weeks ago about a man in England, a preacher, who simply was asked a question on the street and began to share with someone the Bible verses that actually speak of homosexuality as a sin and as an abomination. And someone went and told a police officer that he was speaking about this in public. And that pastor was placed in prison because of simply sharing something the Bible said. And I wonder what kinds of laws will be placed on the books in the days ahead, and what kind of hardness a young person who believes the doctrines of this book and who's not ashamed of what the Bible says, what kinds of difficulties they might face in their lives and in their ministries ahead. And I believe, moms and dads, we owe it to our children to be steadfast in our faith so that all who come behind us will find us faithful. And they'll be able to say, thank God I had a mom and a dad who were faithful to the doctrines, who took heed to themselves and not only saved their marriage and their testimony, but also have helped us to have an example that we might follow, that we would endure the hardness and cast all of our care upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this matter of being a parent or a grandparent, it is a tremendous, tremendous responsibility, because all of us are involved in the making of men and women of God. All of us are involved in raising up the next generation of men and women of God. And if we do our job properly, they're going to take this message out into this society. And they are going to be ministers who stand and who serve and who do not compromise. And truly, as the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, may every one of us tonight determine, number one, that we will know the Lord as our Savior. If you don't know Christ as Savior, oh, how I plead with you to trust Him. Number two, that we would take heed to ourselves and that we would set a good example for these little ones who are following us. And then thirdly, that we would live our days, all the days of our life, in such a way that we would not disappoint them, but that we would always point them to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.